The Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129 presents Word to Life, sacred scripture and liturgy made simple for today's complicated world.
Welcome back to Word to Life. I'm your host, Father Gabriel Gillen. And as we do each Friday, we've discussed our upcoming readings for this Sunday, this presentation of the Lord. On our third part of the show, we have a special guest. We have Dr. Bill Verfelder, who was an All-American at the University of Maryland as a high jumper. He jumped 7 feet 6 inches as a high jumper in high school myself. I realize that's a great accomplishment. He later went on for his doctorate in sports psychology, was a private coach, a mentor to many of the world's top athletes. He's currently president of Belmont Abbey in North Carolina. He and his wife Mary have 10 children. He's the author of a new book, Less Than a Minute to Go, which I read recently on vacation. Wonderful books. By the way, the royalties that are received from this book go to Belmont Abbey, so it's a wonderful cause. He is going to speak to us about his new book, but I'd just like to welcome you now, Dr. Bill, onto the show.
Hey, Father Gabriel, how are you? Thanks so much for having me on the show.
I'm doing well. It's great having you on the show. Before we get into your book, any predictions for this weekend?
I love world-class performance, so whichever side I see it on, I'm going to be very happy.
All right. Fair enough. Now, tell me, how did you come up with this idea for the book?
Well, I guess, you know, God, first of all, divine providence. My whole life has been divine providence in terms of I can never figure out where I'd end up, but somehow God leads you there. I was asked many times to write something, to put it down in writing, or to do something along those lines, and I've never had the time to do it. And then people said, you know, to support Belmont Abbey College, if you did this might be a very good way of doing that. And so that was part of it. The other is that all my life working with professional athletes, Olympic athletes, I've always tried to approach it as the reality. They are whole people, body, mind, and spirit. And I found that very often today's world of sports, the way we look at it, those things get decompartmentalized and we look at them as all separate. And there's some damage, I think, being done both to sport and to us in terms of that breakdown. So I tried to show that you can still be a world-class athlete and develop virtue at the same time. They're not mutually exclusive.
Yeah, that's a great point. As a Dominican friar, you know, we're very cautious of people that split different parts of the human person. I liked how in your book you spoke about, you know, I don't know about you, but I have a mind, you know, I have a body and I have a soul, and I need to take care of all those things. And that indeed is the problem in when dualisms creep in, when we divorce the body from the soul, when we divorce one aspect of reality from another, things get out of proportion, and we need that reintegration of bringing things back. Besides your book, you have a great website which promotes the books but has great videos. It's lessthanaminutetogo.com, and you have some of the reflections that you have in the book, but you also go into other areas. So that's another great resource for people who are beginning to, whether you're a sports athlete or somebody in business or everyday life, there's always these life lessons that we can apply. And as you said, there's no reason to separate these two from other arenas.
And the thing about play that's so amazing to me is that I began saying, well, why is this play thing so important? Because we always think of play as just being little kids, but sport is a function of play. It's a part of play. And every human being from the beginning of time has played. Even, you know, Proverbs 8 talks about wisdom playing before God. I mean, even Scripture's talking about playing. So there must be something essential to it in terms of our human, you know, humanness. And I start to look at what that was, and I recognized it's, again, as you're pointing out, if it's done for its own end, much like wisdom, it becomes like contemplation of the highest things. But when it's done for an end, when it starts to become for the money, the power, the fame alone, it changes it. It turns it into a selfish work, and then it tends to orientate itself in on yourself. So now I can justify doing anything to get to the end. So that means I could lie, I could steal, cheat, do drugs, do whatever, because really all that counts at the end is that we win, isn't it? You know, that's kind of the conclusion in today's sports world we're brought to.
Yes, yeah, unfortunately we see that more and more, how that happens. I know I've interviewed other people, you know, professional athletes, and there's a big shock that, you know, they're playing a game because of the love of the game, and then sometime after college, can even happen a little bit in college, you realize you're hitting a cold corporate world here, and nobody's really, you know, they can be jarred from continuing in the sport for the same reasons that they started it for.
And a lot of the athletes, by the way, I will tell you, the vast majority of athletes that I know are wonderful, good people. Now, I worked mostly with NFL towards the end of my, you know, career of working with athletes, and these men, for the most part that I knew, were the most fantastic people. You'd love to have them as friends. They're great husbands, great fathers. I mean, just wonderful, wonderful people. You hardly hear much about them. And, you know, for example, even in this Super Bowl, you know, Russell Wilson is a very devout Christian. I think a lot of his balance in life is coming from the fact that that's his perspective. Peyton Manning also is a very balanced person. But now they kind of downplay those aspects of the person as if those really aren't important. But I'd say part of what makes that person the talented individual they are, again, goes back to, at this fraction of a second, they are all three things. And if they are, in a sense, addressing all three of those things in their life, then all three things come to bear in a way that leads you to, you know, describing it as peak performance, you know, to see like the very best of the best performing. And I don't know about you, I'd rather see somebody with virtue performing at a world-class level than somebody with vice performing at a world-class level.
Yeah.
I think, again, it goes back to we think that we have to make the choice, you know, to say, well, what are we going to do? That's just the way it is. And I'm saying, no, that we can't accept that. We've got to take it back and make it what it was intended to be.
You also bring up a lot of other great points. We can't go into all of them. This is why I recommend people to actually get the book, Less Than a Minute to Go, and it's available on Amazon and on this website, lessthanaminutetogo.com. But one of the things that you start out with is preparing your own mind to win. Even top athletes can fall into staying out of the present moment. Either they're concerned about something that happened in the past, a failure or a recent mistake, or worrying about, you know, not performing well in the present moment, and they're too caught up in the future. And you give great drills about staying in the present moment, but that's something that Christ is telling us, you know, not to, you know, today has enough worries of its own. The real importance of staying in the present moment, it's just not a Zen-type philosophy. It's something that's a deep Christian philosophy, and it's something that on a natural level is needed in sports itself.
You are absolutely right. And one of the things that I found amazing to come together, these two thoughts, the best athletes in the world, what they are doing is they're taking their 100% they have at this given moment and they apply it to exactly what they're doing to perform at that high level. Staying in union with God, being in this present moment is in being in perfect union with God. And so therefore, even in athletics, when you are performing, quote, in the zone, you are in perfect union with God because you're remaining with Him in the present moment.
Yeah, and that's something that the saints have been able to live out throughout their life and continue to do that in various ways. Let's just break away from the book for a little bit. Tell me a little bit about how you found yourself at Belmont Abbey. I never heard about it until recently, and now I'm hearing about it all the time. What's going on there?
Lots of great things. I mean, this place, again, you talk about Providence. The fact that you have a Catholic college in the middle of the Bible Belt, formed here 138 years ago, is a remarkable story of Providence. The beautiful Gothic brick buildings you'd see if you came here, the monks actually dug up the red clay here, formed them into bricks, dried them in the sun, and placed those bricks here over 130 years ago. It's a wonderful place. I came to it purely as a call. I was not in higher education. I was in sports law and sports business and sports medicine. And it's a long story, but I'll just tell you that God and led my wife and my family here, and we feel the call is exponentially stronger today than when we came 10 years ago.
That's wonderful. And some of your family, I think, are involved there. I was looking, you know, as a high jumper, I was curious to see if I could find any footage of the straddle, and it's amazing. My coach jumped for Holy Cross, this guy,
oh, really?
Joe Dombrowski, and he did the straddle, and he was pretty good.
I was teammates with him at Fordham University. I went to Fordham University for a year before they were threatening to drop the track team, and then I left because they were going to drop the track team and went to Maryland. But I was with Joe and actually jumped with him.
Oh, that's great. He was a tough coach. We did stairs upon stairs upon stairs. You know,
yes, he was a beast. You know, when it came to work it out.
Yeah, so that's great. That's great to have that connection. And one of the friars, his brother teaches there at Belmont Abbey, so that's a very nice connection too. Dr. Licky.
Oh,
there.
Yeah.
So we have Father Austin Licky, who does this radio show with us. He just happened to be.
Oh, I didn't know that. He's a fantastic professor. Justin, we're so happy that he's here.
Yes. Now, one of your sons is a high jumper, is he not? I just saw that.
Well, I will tell you that it has nothing to do with me, and it's interesting how, you know, these things work. My oldest daughter is going to physical therapy school. My wife's a physical therapist. I'm seeing my son high jump, and I'm seeing, you know, Thierfelder break school record here at the Abbey, and I'm thinking, wow, that is strange, you know, how things come around. But yeah, he took up the high jumping and the quarter, and it's just something, you know, he was drawn to. So I find it's kind of interesting to see the last name up there saying high jump record broken.
Now, one of the realities you get into, we were discussing this about the life of Christ and how it's not all about glory, but about pain. And you have one chapter, Playing Hurt, and you have wonderful at the end of each chapter, these wonderful ways to recap what's going on. So, you know, pain is something that is in everybody's life. How do you deal with that when it comes into your life?
As you know that little story, and what I tried to do in the book, throughout the book, was much like your background, you know, it's about parables, it's about stories, you know, so there's not a lot of heavy text in this book. It's just a lot of quick little stories that kind of give you hopefully deep insights about how to do things. And as, you know, one of those that I talk about is when you take pain without a purpose is intolerable to human beings. So we can't take it if there's not a strong enough purpose. So really the deeper question to ask is not, you know, can I take this pain, but whatever may come to me, because we're all going to have pain and suffering in life, we're going to be called to sacrifice. And by the way, another word for sacrifice is love. It means I'm giving up something I could have kept for myself. So in order for me to love anybody requires sacrifice, which means some discomfort. And the big question is, well, how can I take that? Because as a human being, I don't want to take that. So really it comes down to the deeper things in life. And there's, what are you about? What do you truly believe? What is your purpose in life? And I try to get into that a little bit in the last chapter of the book.
All the chapters have great stories, and I'm going to be stealing them for my homily.
Trust me, they're not mine. The Holy Spirit, okay. Any good that's in there came from the Holy Spirit. Anything else I'll take credit for.
But one of the chapters I like particularly well is Walking on Water. As the only way I can walk on water, I was saying before the show, is with a surfboard. I grew up on the beach, and I surf. But it's very true what you're talking about here. As you're surfing, especially as you're about to take off on the wave and get up on the board, if you're thinking about anything else but the present moment, something's going to go wrong. Even on your way out, paddling out there, you can't be worried about the waves. You worry about the waves when they get there. And anything else, it's very interesting in other areas of sports. You see it in other training too, with the SEAL Navy training. They're constantly training people to stay in the present moment, not to live in the past. And staying in that present moment is so easy to slip away, but you really challenge people, and you have drills on your website as well of little ways that we can train our minds to have this hyper attention to detail so we remain in that present moment.
Well, you just nailed it right there. I mean, the little secret, if everybody wants to know, the way that you stay completely absorbed and performing at your best, getting your 100% to come out, is attention to detail. The more detail that you look at whatever it is that you're doing, the more absorbed you become. So when you hear this thing about people being in the zone or peak performance and so forth, it's when you're in that moment. You're so absorbed in the details, you don't even know that you're existing almost. You're just so into it. It's when you come out of that is when you start not to perform at a high level. And to your point, if you, for example, let's say you play golf, you've seen a million golf balls, so after a while they look like white fuzzy things. The discipline is to still see the detail, even though you may have seen it a million times.
Yes, yes. Now, you also bring up some great stories and a philosophy as well with St. Thomas Aquinas. But Aristotle is obviously portrayed in different ways. People can seek glory and honor in a correct way or in an incorrect way. Some people don't, as Aristotle brings out, don't seek glory enough, and others seek it too often.
Right.
Having that balance, that medium between the two, is something that's very important. So magnanimity is something you bring up. If somebody is pursuing something and has gifted in a certain way, how do they keep that balance between... I always bring up with singers, you can see there's a subtle difference in performance and praise. If somebody is in church and they are, in a sense, drawing the light to themselves, or they're really absorbed in the music itself, there's a subtle difference, but boy, it makes all the difference in the world.
Because, again, it's where it's coming from. In other words, you're opening yourself up to God's grace. I gave the analogy in the book that often, you know, we're standing, you know, we're saying, well, why don't I have any grace in my life? Why is God not blessing me? And I said, it's like we're standing under Niagara Falls. It's just pouring down, but we got umbrellas up. And we're saying, why aren't we getting wet? It's like, put down the umbrella. And the umbrella is all the distractions in our life that keep us from receiving God's grace. And so to the degree that we're other-focused, that we're not so much looking at ourselves, that we want to look out at others, that is when we free ourselves up to be as open as possible to the grace that God has pouring down on us and that we then can shed on others.
Well, Dr. Bill, thank you very much. We have less than a minute to go, but that's the name of the book, and I highly recommend it, and God bless all the work you're doing there.
You're great. God bless you, too.
All right.
Bye-bye.